Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord. For the Spirit of the Lord. For the Spirit of the Lord. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is making a way where there has been no way. For God is stretching out his hand on this nation once again. For God is saying unto you, welcome to the turn of the tide. Welcome to the return of the America you remember as we go into a time of conflict and battle to attain it. As Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, I say unto you, God has intervened, and God will intervene again and again and again.
Hallelujah.
Until the right sizing is complete. In the days that the sun and shadow went back up the steps, in the days that the people prayed, these things would not happen in the winter time or on a Sabbath. And those who cried out and said, we hasten the return of the Lord. I say unto you, time is being altered at this very moment. For I am the Lord your God, and I do not fail. I am making a way, and I have heard the cries of my people. And the spirit of Antichrist, wokeism, and this pervert agenda has victimized our children and this generation. And the Lord is saying unto you, I have had enough. And through cooperation of 1 John 4:17, there will be a breakthrough of epic proportions, and none shall be left behind. For I am not willing that any should perish, says the Lord. I am bringing my awakening. I am bringing my movement. And people have cried out, why? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Do you not hear us? But I say unto you, from 20 till 24 to 28, there's coming a comeback as a response to the attack. There'll be ups, there will be downs, there will be losses, but there will be unbelievable victories. The Lord is doing a thing that you would not believe it if someone told you. I see a resurgence of economic standing after a shaking. I see a resurgence of pushing back this electric agenda. I see the potential to return to a gas and oil-based economy. And we must pray and hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, as you pray, many of the foreign nations that have come in and said, this is our land. I say unto you, it will be called forfeit. And many of the foreign adversaries that say, this is our economy, the Lord says, I will right-size that action. And the pollution of our foods, and the pollution of our environment, and the pollution in our skies, and the mechanization of weather. I say unto you, I see all, I know all, and I have heard the prayers of my people. And I will open the eyes of bold whistleblowers. And I will open the eyes of those that will speak out, and they will push back the onslaught and this tsunami of darkness. Because the red church is rising. The blood-bought believers who love their lives even not even unto the death, and who also overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For the Lord is saying, Do not fear, do not dread. Do not fear what they fear. You are not born of that. You're born of Zion. And all the dwellings of Jacob shall come together, says the Lord. For tribes will merge into a movement, and a movement will turn to a roar, and the roar I have restored for my generation for four more. And I tell you, the spirit of the breaker is upon this generation. And one who breaks up is going before them. And I will break up the fallow ground in your children's hearts. And I will break up the fallow ground in the those who have run away from my word. I will break up the fallow ground on shackles that have held them with a bondage of digital prisons. There's coming an awakening, an opening of the eyes, and the scales that will fall off so many. For I say unto you, I have heard your prayers, but do not grow faint in heart in the time of justice. As it is poured out, it will affect the righteous and the unrighteous alike, but it will begin to rain. And I say unto you, you will outrun your enemies in the rain, and there will be victory that comes upon the land in the year of the sunshine shall return. The sunshine states will celebrate. The big sky states shall celebrate. And the Spirit of the Lord is making a way, for it is a do-over, says the Lord. And this is an interesting thing. I hear it in my spirit. I hear the laughter of the Spirit. He who sits in the heavens laughs. And I hear the Lord saying, I don't lose. I don't lose. Ha, ha, ha. And there will come a new form of media that will break the back of wicked institutionalism. There will come a new form of exposure that brings out the hidden agendas of wicked elites. The Lord is saying they are shaking and they are trembling because I have agents of change in every arena right now. Do not fear the upcoming electoral cycle. Do not fear what happens in the ocean. Do not fear the threats over the island off the Red Dragon. Do not fear these things, for I have agents. And even as they take action, and even as intimidation comes, and even as there is power flickering, and there is intimidation, and there is Decapolis of 10 cities burning at once, I say unto you, the Spirit of the Lord will make a way and an avenue of victory, even as the Red Sea was parted. And I'm raising up another. Have I not said the words barren? Have I not said barren shall come? Have I not called on his name? Have I not prepared him to lead the young lions? He is a Joshua, and I say more than a Joshua. He is a giant slayer. Oh, this is not the end. The end will come, but not today. I hear this so strong in my spirit. The end will surely come, and Bible will be fulfilled. But as we rise up, we have a hand on the wheel with the Lord God Almighty, and he's saying, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You're my body. As he is, so are we in this world. What do you want to do, church? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to phone it in? Is this the end? Or do we want to push darkness back? Not just push it back. Do we want to punish darkness? Psalm 149, let the saints be joyful. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, the two-edged sword in their hand, that they execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on wicked people. This is not over. There are two more stages we're going to go through before the end of the year. We just came through stage one. I feel the authority of Almighty God over this nation. He's not doing it for the righteousness sake of the nation. We went from grace to mercy. He's doing it because we're here. I don't care what America's done. I don't care about the politics of Israel. I care about the covenant God has made with his people. We are salt and we are light and we are preserving this land. You're going to see a softening of hearts. Today, it has begun. Yesterday, it began. July 13th began Nineveh. I say unto you, Nineveh began July 13th when a humbling came to the United States, similar to 9/11. And I am rescuing this land. There will be losses. There will be much fire. There will be much conflict. But in the end, the Lord God Almighty says, I have a covenant to keep. And your prayers have come up before me. Jesus walked into Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could have held you in my arms. But you would not have it. The difference between that and today is us. The red church is here. The blood-bought, fire-baptized believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ and will obey him. Come on, church. This is not the end. This is not the end. It's a beginning. It's a beginning. Your children have a future. You have a future. God wills that none would perish. He wants us to agree with him, to lengthen the days we have. For the sun will go back up those steps. And I will deal with that Manchurian. I began to see the attention of heaven looking upon wickedness and pronouncing judgment on it. For change will come and the shaking will happen, and they will say, but this one, and now we will put this one, and now we will change with that one. And the Lord says their plans will not succeed, even if it appears that way in the beginning. Because they have an agenda even after what has happened to respond. All their analysts, all their social construct wickedness, all the psychologists, all the perverts, all these people that are bringing these things forward and are driven by a manic spirit of Antichrist and Jezebel, they will respond now over the next few weeks. They will try to control the agenda. And at every point, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, and I will break it, and I will break it, and I will break it, and I will break it. In 2020, the Lord told me that 45 would not win. But this is a year of do-overs. And wherever we end up, God is with his church. And I'm here to tell you today, it is in the church's hands what happens next. Everything before was purely predictive. God spoke through his prophets, this is what shall happen. Today the Lord is saying, I need a great co-mission with my body. It's not the great mission. It's the great co-mission. God and his body cooperating to get the work done. As he is, so are we in this world. And the Lord is saying, what do you want to do? Acts 15, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You are responsible for the future of this nation. When I say the word you, if that applies, that's who I'm talking to. Jesus loves you. God has empowered you, and you matter. Your prayer matters. Your grieving over evil in the land matters. We love what God loves, and we hate what God hates. And we love people. Welcome to the beginning of the new America. Woo, Jesus. Man, somebody say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Say, I love you, Jesus. Say, I'm yours to command, Jesus. On a bad day, I'm anointed to be the best there is. Say this, say, my presence demands an explanation. Because the greater one lives in me. The world might be dead, but I'm alive. Because
Christ is in me,
the hope of glory. Woo! Jesus! 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 Hallelujah! Well, give the Lord praise this morning, everybody. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, y'all got some voltage on you. Well, let's be seated this morning. Let's jump into this. Worship team, thank you so much. How wonderful. It's nice being in the presence of God, where God feels welcomed. Praise God. You know, even on a bad day, you really are anointed to be the best there is. Thank you, gentlemen. You guys are some of the finest people. I was able to talk with some of your ushering staff, some of your security. You guys are awesome. I like it. You know, this church just kind of screams, America. I love it. Praise God. You know, every nation, every person who lives in their own nation, we love those nations, but this is our nation, and I'm thankful to God we have it. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to get into some things this morning in prophetic in nature, and we're gonna really be good stewards of our time today, go through what the Lord has for us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm seeing some very strong things happening in the Spirit, and I need to walk this through, and I have so much to give you this morning, and I'm so thrilled to be here. But I'm apprehended by the Spirit of the Lord over this nation. And last night I came in here, and I'd been crying and weeping over the country. In the hotel room, and we're communicating with your awesome pastor, and just saying, my goodness, I have this thing that's happening. And, of course, with what took place just yesterday, my phone was just, you know, exploding. And there was information. People were saying, what's happening? What does this mean? What's the Lord saying? We'd predicted much of this for the last, you know, 6 months, even 2 years, about the exact event that happened yesterday. And we posted those clips this morning right before the service. And so those clips are out. You can see our predictions that the Lord had to say. And then also a prediction about the next 4 years, where we're going. And I believe that it's important that we only say what we see, and we don't try to land on solid things that we've not seen. And I take that really serious with the Lord. And people ask me pointed questions, and sometimes I say, I don't know. But what I do know is, what I've seen, I will say. And what I saw back in 2020 is I saw Kamala Harris's face come forward and stand firmly. And then I saw Trump's face come next to it. I had an early morning day vision while I was getting ready for the broadcast. And as I saw it, I saw Trump's face fade back and hers get strong. And then I knew she would be VP. Now, what I'm breaking off in the name of Jesus is that will not be the case in this cycle. Because I believe the Spirit of the Lord is going to make a great way for many people. So we just need to pray, and I've seen this, and as we pray, we're going to go through it. But let me talk to you about you this morning and get into some of this information that I think will help you. And I'm just going to go as quickly as I can because I think it's going to really help people today. And so, let's take a quick look at this. I think it's going to help you. Let's just get a running start. Let me talk to you about the body of Christ. How many of you know that we're becoming the bride? Because when the Lord returns, he's coming for a pure, spotless bride. And you see in the book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 21, where the new Jerusalem comes down and the angel says, behold, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. the definite article. Today, many people say we're the bride. I understand that. I get the allegory. I'm cool with that. But we're becoming that. Right now, we're the body of Christ. Now, some people might say you're splitting hairs, Joseph. Well, I don't have any, so praise the Lord. But here's the point. The point is that I'm really good at the terminology. I understand it. I celebrate it. I'm not trying to be critical of any terminology. But my point is that we are the body today, and as the body, we're his hands and feet today, okay? And he's preparing us to be that bride that he comes, and the wedding day comes, and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's going to be awesome. But let me draw something for you very quickly here. This is kind of a Venn diagram. This is how I explain some of these things, okay? This represents the body of Christ, okay? Here we see Ephesians chapter 4, 11. This is the fivefold ministry. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we also see Romans chapter 12. And this, of course, is the nine manifestational gifts. Very quickly, this is the seven motivational gifts. Okay? And this is the five, I'll call them governmental gifts. Okay? All of these together equal 21. Okay? It's the 21 gifts in the body of Christ, the 21 gift spectrum, I like to call it. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, the 21 gift spectrum is the body of Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. That makes sense? Now, if we had a little more time, I'd break down each point, but in each one of these areas, in each place, in each gifting, there is prophecy. The gift of prophecy, the office of the prophet. Okay? Just making the point here today. Now, you recognize this for our purposes today. We're going to talk about prophecy. But when we're looking at the 21 gift spectrum, you find yourself in the body. You know, it's an interesting thing. A lot of people think, I just go to the church of my choice. I do what I want. I move my family for work, and then we try to find a church. That's backwards. We need to find our place in the body of Christ and let all the other things come unto us, right? And this is important. Now, God may have led you because of a job, and I'm not being critical about any of that. Sometimes the Lord works in unique ways with different people, and I'm not trying to put him in a corner and say, this is the only way it works. But I'm just saying unto you that the Spirit of God is saying to many people in the body of Christ, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes the reason we have problems with our children, or we have problems with our families, or we have problems and issues is because we've sought the world's version of success and the world's version of where we should be and how we ought to live, not seeking first the kingdom, and our kids get drug along in that process, and we lose them along the way, and we say they don't have any friends, they don't have church, they don't have this. It's because we sought the career over the kingdom, okay? And that's a blanket statement, and everybody's different, and that's if it applies to you, praise the Lord. If it doesn't, praise the Lord. And even if it does, the Lord loves you, and there's grace, and you're on a journey right now. You know, none of us have done this thing in a laboratory and figured it all out, right? So if you're hearing this today, it means God's going to redeem some things, right? There's no condemnation in the statements, but it's the reason we end up in places. We've all been there. Okay, everybody cool? Okay, so let's keep going. I'm going to give this to you. So prophecy is very important. Now, I'm going to just jump right into this today. I'm going to give you like an 8-hour series in about 15 minutes, okay? And it's going to really help you. We recognize things about it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump into this. We realize prophecy works on a spectrum. Now, I have a book back there called Demystifying the Prophetic, and it's in the back on the table. I really encourage you to get that. I can see it back there all covered up with blankets. And so it'll be really helpful for you guys if you get that, because the book will really open up your eyes to this. I've took my whole life of experiences, writing things, going through it, and really put it down on paper, and then put a manual with it. It'll really help you, and it'll bless you, and I hope you get that book today. It'll really help you. Let me show you here. There's four types. Now, there arguably could be further than this. You could go beyond this, but here's the four fundamentals, okay? So number one, in prophecy, there's a thing we call roe. Okay, Roe. Roe is a visionary, or it is a herald. It is a knowing what to do, like a leadership gift. It is a sons of Issachar type of anointing, that they know the times and seasons and they know what to do about it. Roe is the prophetic gift that mobilizes the body. Okay? And now I'm going to explain the difference between what the gift of prophecy is and what a prophet is in just a moment when we apply all these meanings here. But Roe is very important. Roe is what a lot of leaders work in, and they don't even know it. You know, you got people that lead a country, you got people that lead a company, you got people that lead things, and it's a gift of leadership. They know what to do. They can read the terrain. They have a heuristic, is a term meaning like a gut instinct to make a decision, and then they go, well, how did I do that? Now I need to backfill and understand it. They just know what to do. Roe. And it also involves prophecy, speaking and prophesying and seeing things that are coming to pass, and like a herald, declare it. But it's that sons of Issachar thing. Secondly, very quickly, Navi. Navi is, well, it's the type of unction that I'll just say simply is inspirational. It means to bubble up. Navi is where you see preachers. You ever seen a preacher come to the stage? They're like, you know, I took all these notes. I prepared this message, but I'm not going to preach on that today. You ever see a preacher do that? They're like, God, I guess that was for me. Praise God. So I'm going to preach this. And when they do that, it's because the Holy Spirit is moving in Navi. They're preaching off the page. You call that extemporaneous preaching. Extemporaneous preaching is when you prepare, and the Lord changes everything last second, and you teach something different, and you're kind of in the flow of the Spirit. That's a bubbling up and inspiration, Navi. This also works when God speaks to you. You'll be in a place, you start to hear something, and there's an unction that comes up in you, similar to that same type of process, and then you begin to flow in it, and you just begin to step out and say, my goodness, I think the Lord is saying this. And there's an unction that comes out of you, whether it's teaching or public declaration, and it's a Navi bubbling up, inspirational, on the moment, in the moment, suddenly you're releasing something, okay? And consequently, these are the two that I move in most. These are the two I really function in every day. But now let's get into the more scarier ones. Then there's Chaza. Chaza, fundamentally in the Hebrew, means, and I mean this in a sanctified way, but it means to gaze. This is where you get word of knowledge. This is where you see things, and there is visions attached to it. You can see things, and now many times with Chaza, you know when you get into like crazy stuff? You guys all right? Heather's laughing at me. You know, many times when you get into to different things that are taking place with Chaza, I love you. You're amazing. So many times when you get into that, though, and you're looking at things and you're looking at it, you know, have you ever seen the old mystical imagery where you got like psychics looking into a crystal ball and they're gazing into the crystal ball and they're, you know, just demonic and evil and they're gazing into it? All that is a perversion of the real. And it's demonic. It's a demonically induced thing. You got demons driving a person to do that, like the little slave girl that followed the men of God around in the book of Acts and began to say, listen to these men. Listen to these men. They are speakers for God. Imagine that. She was actually saying the right thing. Oh, no. There's a lot of prophetic people like that in the church today, saying the right thing, wrong spirit. You know, we don't need to be the suspicion police, but we do need to have discernment. And I'll show you how to do that in just a moment. But anyway, the crystal ball scenario is a perversion of Chaza. Do you know that when they would gaze into the crystal ball, it wasn't about the crystal ball showing them things. It was about looking into a blank space and letting their gifting, perverted, come alive and look into something where they could start to get a vision. And they would use narcotics and whatever to get that. Now, the bottom line is that in the true form of this, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you begin to look at people by the Spirit of God, you can begin to have word of knowledge. God can show you things. Things begin to happen. And a lot of people say in the prophetic movement today, they say, well, prophets or prophecy users cannot just turn a gift on and turn it off. That is not true. Yes, you can. Now, I think it's a matter of, you know, like a weapon or anything else. You use it appropriately and you use it under the right circumstances. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And here's another powerful word. Maturity is restraint. Maturity is restraint. There's about 80% at times of what I see, I'm not released to share. Because your gift will work, okay? But maturity is restraint. So chases that gift and it's that understanding. So this is also why in meetings personally, I'll look at people, I'll look at things, I'll look at a blank spot on the wall, look at a blank spot on their shoulder, something like that, because then God begins to speak to me. I'm putting my sails out, I'm catching the wind of the Spirit and trying to say only what I sense Him saying. And I don't want to just read somebody because I can. Does that make sense? We've been through a lot of prophetic stuff and I've been through a lot of things and you know, I can push and I can start seeing things, but I don't believe that's Holy Ghost. Because when you do this enough, now this is wild, I'm jumping way in the deep end of the pool here, but it's wild. Many times when people start to move in the prophetic, they actually push themselves beyond what they should. And I believe that in the Old Testament was when the schools of the prophets would train people to only do what the Spirit was saying. Okay? So if you can speak in tongues on demand, you can prophesy on demand. Same deal. Okay? So that's chaser. Word of knowledge comes from that. Visions come from it. Intuitive visions come from this. An intuitive vision is this. When you have a thought in your mind, you ever get a thought in your mind? So let me help you with this. Let me say yellow apple. Everybody see that in their head? Now, if you're seeing a teddy bear, you need help. But I'm just saying, yellow apple, you see that? Now imagine a stem, little green leaf popping out to the side. Do you see that? That is intuitive. Now the Holy Spirit can blow on that and bring a vision to you that way. It's a mental, intuitive vision, and God speaks that way. And we need to pay attention to those subtle things. We need to process them, write them down, build a track record, because just because you're seeing something doesn't always mean it's perfectly accurate. When you're having a dream, that's part of chaser many times, dreams. I do a lot of that where I talk about dreams and people, I always have a dream and they say, my goodness, here's what happened. Then I was here, then I was there, then I was flying, then, you know, I was a shot out of a cannon and this happened there and all that and that and that. And really many times there's just the heart of the dream that God's trying to say something to you and you got this soulish mechanism that's pulling from all your thoughts and experiences and subconscious things and it's pulling all that into the dream and God's trying to speak through all that mess. And you got to learn to discern what was being said here. It's not about every detail. Sometimes it is about the details, but often it's just the heart of the dream that God is trying to speak to you. And consequently also, if you ever have a nightmare that's tormenting and it really gripped you, don't wake up and repeat it 10 times. Wake up and say, I bind you in Jesus' name. I'm blessed. I'm not having that mess in my life. You see a loved one died or something, you don't repeat that. You bind it. To be forewarned is to be forearmed so we can pray to alter the future and the outcome. You know, we knew that in the January 11th, there was going to be some bad things happening. Prayer came. I believe it changed that. I believe prayer just saved our former president's life yesterday. On July 13th, I believe his life was saved. You know, it was a hair's breadth away. If his head had not been turned this way, and if it had been turned a different way, we'll say it's over here, the firing was coming from this direction. If he had not been looking in that direction, it would have hit him here. Just enough turning, I believe an angel helped him look that way to graze his ear only. One of my prophetic friends, Troy Brewer, he just said that was a word to the church, the Malchus word, where the ear got cut off and then restoration happened. That's strong. Now let's go into the real scary one. Chose. You can get all this in my book, and I go into elaborate detail on all this. Chose is a Hebrew word that means to lean forward and peer into the distance. It means you're leaning forward and you're peering into the horizon. You're looking into the distance. Chose is not voluntary. This is not something you can induce. This is not something you can just make happen. Chose is when the Spirit of the Lord snaps you up and shows you what he wants to show you. There's no negotiating on this one. Chose is the example I gave yesterday in last night's meeting where I was standing at the Brownsville Revival, ended up on the bus, snapped away into a trance. A trance is like a vision that's like you're in it and it's a complete movie. It's so real. A trance is different than a vision. A vision is playing out in front of you and you're still somewhat aware of your surroundings. That's a vision. But a trance is when you're snapped away and you don't know if you're in your body or out of your body. It's like VR goggles, okay? And you're in a whole different location. And that's where I saw that ground of stone and concrete and the seed was in my hand and I threw it and it broke the ground up. And the Lord said, so shall your words be to the hearts of men. And that's chose, that's future. John the Revelator had this. Daniel moved in this. Many did. Ezekiel, a lot of the guys moved in chose, where they would see the future. Jesus moved in chose. Matthew 24, Luke 21, so many of the things that begin to happen. It's futuristic. So let me say this to you very quickly. I said I'd differentiate between the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet, and that's this. I want you to get this scripture. Maybe you want to write this down. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2, it says something really powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2, it just really says, it's Paul the Apostle talking, and he says, I am not an apostle to others, but I am to you. Okay? That's what Paul's saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, Paul says, I'm not an apostle to others, but I am to you. Now, why am I saying that? Well, because Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about the fivefold ministry, starting with the apostle. Then it goes to the prophet. So if Paul the apostle sets the precedent that he has jurisdiction as an apostle, then I believe that applies to all fivefold ministers. They have jurisdiction. So now we come to the prophet. The office of the prophet is different than the gift of the prophet. You see the gift of the prophet, or gift of prophecy rather, and the gift of prophecy, and both the gifts of prophecy you can eagerly desire. 1 Corinthians 14 says, especially that you might prophesy, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. And if you desire them, you can grow in them. You can really get strong in them. As a matter of fact, people that practice the gift of prophecy can at times prophesy way stronger than someone in the office of the prophet. That might blow people's minds. Just because somebody gets up and they predict something or say something does not make them a prophet. There's been a lot of teaching out there that say, well, you know, if you can have two of the vocal utterances and stand on one leg and you put your left foot in and your left foot out and you turn it all around, you stand on one leg, you sing a little song, you're a prophet, yeah, you're a prophet, yeah. That's not how it works, right? People are like, you got all these giftings and suddenly you're a prophet. You know, no, You know what a prophet is? It's a fivefold minister using the gift of prophecy, but Ephesians chapter 4, 11, going into 12 and 13 says that the fivefold ministry is there for the edifying and the equipping of the saints. Let's say it together, edifying and the equipping, to edify and to equip. That is applicable to the office of the prophet. And it means they are responsible for a certain segment of the body of Christ or the world. According to Paul saying, I may not be an apostle to others, but I am to you. You could say that about prophets. So prophets, it doesn't have to do with their gifting. It has to do with responsibility. People are like, no, they it's so hazy, isn't it? When people come in, they're like, they do a little shake. You know, ooh, Jesus out. And all of a sudden they're just like, they're just like, they yank around a little bit. And then they're like, wow, when they share a word with you. You're like, oh, that's a prophet. They're weird. I mean, obviously, nobody can shake like that unless they're a prophet, you know. Right? That's, you ever seen that? Nobody? Yeah. And I'm not against anybody. I think that's great. You just don't have to do that. You know that, right? You're like, no, the Spirit takes over. You're a liar. First Corinthians 14:32, it says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the control of the prophet. Some people are like, no, the Lord made me. The Lord didn't make you do nothing. You're a free moral agent. You move in sovereignty of man. God is sovereign, amen, but he's not in control of every little thing, including your decisions. So when I talk about a prophet has jurisdiction, when God calls a prophet to a local church, they are to serve the leader of that church as a voice for God in the house, judging prophetic words that happen under the authority of the leadership, and they are an in-house prophet. You see that. You see different regional prophets. When the prophets who came down from Antioch, Judas and Silas, Agabus, they came down from Antioch and shared many words with people, encouraging them. We do that at the end of our meetings many times. We share many words with people. And you see that. You got Philip's daughters who prophesied. Those are in-house local prophets, prophetic voices. Then you've got Judas and Silas, and they're kind of regional. They'd go out and minister in the churches. You got John the Revelator, international prophet. Daniel, international prophet. Globally recognized for what they said to the body. The regional or local ones, they said it to that group, and it wasn't even recorded. That make sense? So when we're looking at these things, you got to recognize that the office of the prophet is, and I'll say it really clearly here, it is, just like all the fivefold, a responsibility gift. We recognize that. The office of the prophet is a responsibility just like all the fivefold, all of it. Responsibility, and it has location or jurisdiction. Okay? The prophetic gift can work through every believer. Every believer can prophesy. Every one of us can do it. And you can develop in it to such a point people will think you're a prophet. But you need to know if God's given you jurisdiction, if he's called you, and there are four witnesses that say if you're in the fivefold or not. It's out of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, four witnesses of Christ. Okay? The first one is it was absolutely noted that John the Baptist said, Jesus, I'm going to baptize you. He had a peer in his generation. That's number one. Secondly, God the Father called him from heaven. He knew Jesus was called by God the Father. Jesus knew he was called by God. Thirdly, the works Jesus did. Jesus was called by the works. The works I do bear witness of my office. And fourth, the word of God bears witness. Does that make sense? So there's four witnesses that call Jesus. There ought to be four witnesses that call a fivefold minister. And the first one starts with, there is a peer review. People that stand up and they're like, I'm an apostle. Okay, who's following you? I was in a meeting one time, Pastor Sean, I'm in this meeting, and a guy's in there, and the Lord said, that man thinks he's an apostle. Tell him he's not. I was like, okay, Jesus. I said, sir, hey, yeah, you, praise the Lord. I said, you're not an apostle. And he's like, okay. I said, okay, back to work, you know. And but let me just finish it by saying this. You got prophecy. You can move in it. You can develop in it. And any gift of prophecy could touch all four of these at the Lord's doing. The Lord could even take someone that's not a prophet and show them the future. God can do whatever he wants. He did it with Pharaoh. He wasn't a prophet, right? He did it with all these different people. But here's the thing. Prophets have a responsibility to train these in the body and move in them accordingly. And in these gift arenas, you'll have majors and minors. Majors meaning what you use the most. Minors kind of what God visits on you every now and then. And everybody can touch all four of these, but you'll have one you probably go to the most when you begin to practice prophecy. Does that make sense? And it'll begin to flow in you. And so the bottom line is I move in these the most every single weekday morning when I'm live on the broadcast, giving you the Watchman news in real time. Here's the signs of the times. Here's the son of Issachar anointing. And then you get into Chesa Chose. I use this a lot at the end of meetings where God comes on me and I begin to speak to people. And Chose, the Lord has done this with me periodically and sometimes regularly where I'm seeing the future in a vision or a dream. I remember 2 days before a certain event happened, I saw an island exploding. I saw dust in the air. I thought it got bombed. And I went live on my broadcast. I said, an island is exploding in the ocean. It looks like it's been bombed or a volcano. I can't tell. I'm looking at this. We need to intercede so no loss of life happens. 2 days later, the Tonga Island exploded. And it was all over the news. And I had that type of thing happen again and again and again. And I think the Lord keeps me guessing too, so I don't ever think I'm doing something. People are like, what does it mean, Joseph? I'm like, I don't know. God is so good. He's so good. And I'll leave you with this thought. Hebrews 5:14. Remember when I said you don't want to have a spirit of criticism? You need discernment to know the difference between what's going on and what's not. You a prophet, you not a prophet. Hebrews 5:14 says, through reason of use, we exercise our senses that we might discern both good and evil. The reason of use. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. It's talking about your five senses, what you can smell, taste, touch, see, and hear. And you put that under the authority of the Word of God, where you are led by the Spirit. John 6:63 says, my word is spirit. You're led by that. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God, and you're discerning and making right judgments on circumstances because you have love in you. The Word of God is speaking to you more than your natural determination. And that is how you discern good from evil. I love you so much. It's been a wonderful time being with you in first service. Jesus is Lord. I'm Joseph Z, and I approve this message. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.